Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I have to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in that blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We're going to find out about that today in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I love that book of Hebrews. My, what a phenomenal book it is. What a great book it is. What a grand book it is. And we're going to find some things that are glorious in it actually today as we look in chapter 2. Going to begin reading, I don't know, maybe long about verse 5 and read down through quickly to verse 10. But all you just pray for this whole country, preacher, won't you? I'm praying with you. Debbie and I are certainly glad that you chose to tune in today. And we pray that our time together will be a blessing, will be an investment, that it will be something that would honor and glorify God as we look in His Word about His Son, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, but preacher, He's not mine. Well, He can be. He wants to be. I've just told you He came to be. And if you'll accept Him, if you'll accept Him by faith, He'll save you by grace. Well, Deb's got a song queued up and ready to go. It's one of her favorites. One of mine too. I just love everything that she does. I love her. I really appreciate my godly wife. But the title of the song is A Promise, and I Know. Well, I promise you, it'll be a blessing. As soon as she gets done with that, I'll meet you in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, right after Philemon and right before James.
When you see a rainbow spread across the sky, that is God's promise He gave to you and I. For just like old
wonderful, friend. We can trust in Him. We can count on Him. Now, look, we may not understand Him. I don't know anybody that understands God. I'll tell you, and I'm glad. I wouldn't want to serve a God that we could put on a chalkboard, that we could throw in a computer program and have it spit out explanations of Him and just tell us all there is to know about Him. But I'm glad that we can trust the great I am that I am, the one that never changes, the one that is eternal, the one that is immutable and inscrutable. I'm glad that we can trust that great I am that I am. Look, I told you I've turned the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to begin reading chapter 2 at verse 5. And look now, just before this in chapter 1, we were introduced. We were introduced to someone. We're introduced to the Son of God, who is greater than the prophets, who is better than the angels. And Jesus, friend, listen, Jesus is the one we're going to be looking at here in this passage. And all we find as we read on in the book of Hebrews that he's greater than Melchizedek. He's made after the power of an endless life. He's got a priesthood that's ceaseless, that it's never ending, and all it's available to whosoever will. But in this second chapter of the book of Hebrews, just before we look into this passage that I'm going to read from, the Lord has led me to, we see a warning. Oh, we see a warning. He said that we ought to give the mourners heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For he said this, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, you're talking about a warning. That's the first of maybe five in the book of Hebrews, maybe even more than that, or maybe seven. It's been a while since I've counted them, but I want you to know, friend, I want you to know, if you don't know Jesus, you need to. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you don't know your sins are under the blood, if you don't know for sure when you die and you're going to heaven, but all you need to settle that today. And by the way, bless God, God sent me your way so that you can. Listen to what the Word of God says in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews again, beginning of verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the worlds to come, wherever we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he had put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. And watch this. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Do you know what? When David wrote this, and you'll find that in Psalm 8. In some degree, he was amazed. In some degree, he marveled at how God made man. Made him just a little lower than the angels. Gave him dominion over a world. Friend, listen, that's amazing to me. And David, as he began to look at man and how he had disobeyed God. How that man had cost God more than his breath. He cost God in redemption his blood and the blood of his only begotten son. David marveled. David marveled. David wonder how that God could do what he did, how he saw in man what he saw and what a plan and purpose God had for man. And all David marveled. Now look, there's to me some mystery in that passage in the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, and in this passage. And sometimes I wonder, well, is God referring to that dominion that he gave to man, or is he speaking about his son? Well, I'll be honest with you. I believe here he's talking about man. I believe he's talking about what man has lost. And all man has fallen so far in the garden, and Adam and Eve, the federal heads of the human race, our representative, you and I, in essence, when they fail, we fail. And you say, preacher, I would have done it different. No, you wouldn't. Neither would I. That's what's so great about this. God, listen, friend. God knew. God knew, friend, what mankind would do. And he had a plan of salvation ready. He had it in place before he ever spoke this world into existence. But David was marveled at it. And in some degree, this writer of Hebrews, whom I believe to be Paul, as he was beginning to present unto us the perfect man, Jesus, listen, he began to speak, and here comes my text, about man's dilemma. But listen now, and here's the text. God had an answer for that. And look, it's Jesus Christ. So here's the text. God's answer for man's dilemma. All man's in a bad shape. Do you hear? He's fallen. He's depraved. Hey, it doesn't mean depravity. Depravity of mankind doesn't believe that man is as bad as he can be. Some men seem to be. Others are not. I realize that. But oh, look, we're all as bad off as we can be. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all dead in our trespasses and sin. None of us can perform enough righteousness to get to a place where we satisfy God's demand and have entrance into heaven. But oh, thank God, God's got a remedy for our dilemma. God's got an answer for the fallen state of mankind. God's got a way, hallelujah, this morning to bring sinful man into a right relationship with a holy God. And He does that through His Son, Jesus Christ, that died at a place called Calvary. So I want you to think with me this morning for just a few moments of time about God's answer for man's dilemma. Whoa, man has fallen. He fell from His dominion, His place of dominion. He fell from His place of a personal identity, because God in the garden cried and said, Adam, where art thou? Oh, that sin of mankind, listen, caused Adam and Eve to lose something special. Now that's another message for another time. Let's read on. But we see Jesus, I like that. We see fallen man, yeah we do. We see him out of place. We see him misplaced and displaced. But oh, thank God, listen, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. I'm going to tell you something, friend, if you wonder why things are as they are, if you wonder why things just exist as they exist, let me give it to you right now. The Bible said, for it became Him, now watch this, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. We sing a song sometimes, maybe the kids do, this is my Father's world. I want you to know, friend, listen, He's in control. We breathe His air. We eat His food. We live upon a planet that He has created. Oh, little man tries to be so big, but I'll tell you what, he's insignificant without God. He's just a speck of dust in the cosmic universe that we exist in. But oh, God did something. God sent His Son in the person of Jesus Christ because of the plight of fallen man. And oh, He did a work to redeem us. Not some of us, but all of us. Sir, ma'am, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. I don't know your condition. I don't know your position. But I'll tell you what, your plight is bad. I mean to tell you you're fallen. I mean to tell you you're a slave to sin. Oh, look, friend, you're sure to meet God in judgment, and without Christ as your Savior, you're bound to hear Him say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I know you're not. The plight of man is given again in verses 6, 7, and 8, where Paul says, listen, remember what David said? Look at what man lost. Dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the creatures. God had dominion, given dominion to man over this earth that He placed him on. And the plight is simple. He's fallen, but oh, look at the person. But we see Jesus. Look, we've seen little man made of clay. We've seen little man disobey God. We've seen little man going against Almighty God because he listened to the God of this world. But oh, God had something in mind. He had a plan, friend, listen, how that would take care of every issue that man has been confronted with. Every issue from that issue of sin to eternity. And look, we find the answer in the person of Jesus Christ. Who was He, preacher? Well, but we see Jesus, who for a little span of time was made lower than the angels. Remember, He didn't give this world and put it in subjection to the angels, but He did to man. And look, when man fell, he needed something to lift him up. He needed someone to restore what he had lost. And you know what God did? God sent His only begotten Son, sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born of a virgin, sinless, living among us, dying substitutionally for us, raising us successfully on the third and appointed morning for our justification. Oh, God did this for us in the person of His Son, who was God incarnate. Isn't that amazing? In Him dwelt, in that man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in that man that perplexed the doctors and the lawyers at 12 years of age, in that man who, as a little boy, Mary, his virgin mother, pondered many things about Him. Oh, in that man, a friend that caused the world to consider Him. In that man, listen, that came as a representative of all man, who took upon Him my sin, your sin and all the world, who satisfied God's claim, who met the demand of God's justice, who died and rose to live forevermore. I'm telling you, it's in this man Jesus whom Paul said, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hey, He was Jesus of Nazareth. He became as we are so that we could become as He is. And let me tell you, as I've told you before, the Son of God became the Son of Man so the sons of men might become the sons of God. How wonderful that is. How wonderful, but look at His person. It was Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, He was made like us. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, He humbled Himself. I mean to tell you, He stepped out off of His throne, laid aside His glory, not His deity, entered into the stream of humanity, and oh, He did what no one else could do. But I want you to look, if you will, as we continue on at the peculiarities of this. Man, I'm telling you, but we see Jesus who was made, now watch this, a little lower than the angels, meaning for a little time. And look at what the writer said. This is why He came, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. My, you talking about a phenomenon. You talking about something that is phenomenal. That's what Jesus did for sinners like me and you. Oh, isn't that amazing? Let me tell you what a man to the name of Warren Wiersbe said. And I'm not going to read the passage, but I'm just going to give you the particulars out of it. He said that Jesus Christ gave up His glory to become a man. And listen to this now, but He regained His glory when He arose out of a tomb and when He ascended into heaven. And you know what He does today in light of that? He shares His glory with whosoever will, with the men and the women who know that they're sinners, who have heard the good news of the gospel, who are willing to approach Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved, but I sure need to be saved. You know what He does? He shares His glory with us. Can I tell you something, friend? We've got a man in glory. Amen. Oh, when He entered into the stream of humanity, as I've just said, He laid aside His robe of glory, not His humanity, or not His deity, in order to become become humanity by His glory. But before He left, He said, Father, I've glorified Thee on earth. Glorify Thy Son with the glory that I had with Thee from the beginning. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. I believe there's the glory of the cross. Do you hear me? I believe there's the glory in that One who is a part of the eternal Godhead, that took a body back to heaven, who's seated on the right hand of the Father, who continually makes intercession for us that know Him and for those that need to and will come to know Him. Oh, what a phenomenon that this is, to know that we've got a man in glory. And may I say something? He came the first time in humility. He'll come the second time in glory. He'll come in power. He'll come, bless God, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to know Him as your Savior. Have a look at the purpose in verse 10. For it became Him. Listen, it was fitting to Him. It brought out some part of His glory that neither you nor I can understand. But it was becoming to Him. It fit Him to become a man. It fit Him for the purpose for which He came. And this is what it was. For it became Him by whom are all things, and for whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Remember, I told you He laid down His glory according to Wiersbe. I like that. He's regained His glory, and He's going to share it with me and you. Oh, isn't that wonderful, friend? He came to bleed and die. He came to live sinlessly among us. He came to die substitutionally for us. He came to reveal the Father. Father, did He not? But can I tell you something? We're not saved because Jesus lived. We're saved because He died. But let me say something. Now that He has died, and now that He does live, we're not only saved, listen, by His death, but now that we're saved by His life. Isn't that good? Listen, friend, He came to die. Isn't that amazing? He came to die for sinners like me and like you. Listen, we're not saved by the miracles that He performed. Oh, it was great manifestation of the power of Almighty God, I want you to know. But oh, listen, friend, we're saved in light of the death that He died, because the Word of God says the wages of sin is death. But listen now, this is the purpose. It became Him in bringing many sons unto glory, that it might make the captain of their salvation complete. You say, boy, how in the world could Jesus, who is God, be incomplete? Well, I'll tell you, friend, He had to complete the whole purpose of God. He had to go all the way through with the whole plan of Almighty God. And all that meant suffering for man. If we'd read on down in Hebrews 2, we'd find that He tasted death for every man. And do you know what that means? That means that He drank the whole cup that He prayed about in the garden. He wasn't praying about not to die. I believe He dreaded that cup of my sin and your sin. The dregs of our ungodly decision. Oh, to sin and to rebel. To repudiate His grace and His advances of salvation. But oh, I want you to know that He did it for me and you. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood He shed at Calvary, when His Savior cried, bowed His head and died. He did it all for me. And listen, He cried out, "It is finished." Oh, how wonderful. It became Him, the captain of our salvation, to be made complete, or to complete God's plan of salvation, the purpose for His person, all of the phenomenon about Him, the phenomenal things that He did and said, the peculiarities or the peculiarities of His life and of His death. He did it for us. So here's the plea. Sir, ma'am, won't you trust Christ as your Savior? Listen, whether you understand it or not, whether you even agree with it or not, whether you accept it or not, it doesn't change the truth. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. You're lost. You're in need of a Savior. It's not enough to be a good moral man. It's not enough to be a member of a church. You got to be a member of the body of Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, the most religious person we'll read about in the New Testament, that you must be born again. Oh, look, sir, ma'am, you may have been baptized. You may have been confirmed. That's not enough. Baptism is a part of our growth and our testimony of our salvation, but it doesn't bring salvation. Oh, listen, friend, God's pleading with you. God's pleading with you today. The plea is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The plea is, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The plea is, repent lest you perish. Oh, wouldn't you like to have the peace of God in your life, sir? Wouldn't you like to have the peace of God in your life, ma'am? Wouldn't you like to know without a doubt that before you die, you're going to heaven? Wouldn't you like to leave that testimony for your family that'll be grieving for you one day? Well, if you would, all you got to do is bow your head, humble your heart, pray a little prayer. Do what the publican did. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, confess you're a sinner. Repent of your sin. By faith, receive Christ as your Savior. And I'll tell you, the Word of God said He'll save you. That's what it said. The book, not me. Listen, why don't you turn to Him today? Run to Him. Jesus is God's answer for man's dilemma. And we're sure in one from our fall. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Upon your word and my salvation.